Grab your Bible. It's time for Reading the Word with Justin Reed. Now, here's Justin.
Thank you, Brother Dearman. Yes, I am Justin Reed, and I want to thank you for joining me as we are going to begin a new program entitled Reading the Word. For a while, we're going to be examining a beautiful passage of Scripture found in the Old Testament almost at the exact middle of the Bible. I'm talking about Psalm 119. I've done quite a bit of study in this psalm. In fact, I've adapted it for a workbook and been teaching it in Wednesday night class at Wood Church of Christ, and I thought I would love to share some of this with you. So I hope you will join me as we open our Bibles, we look more at what God has said through His Word, and we see how we can apply it unto our lives. Now, a couple of things that we need to remind ourselves as we're looking at the book of Psalms. Psalms is composed of poetry. But it's not English poetry, it's Hebrew poetry. And with that, it's not structured the same way that we might write a poem, or maybe as Dr. Seuss wrote The Cat in the Hat, for instance, but it's written the way the Hebrews wrote, and the Hebrews like to do what we call building a bridge. So they would make a statement, and then they would say it, then they would back up to where they originally started at. They would make the statement again, but this time they would take it just a little bit farther, and they would keep repeating this process until they accomplished what they had to do. Something we also need to remind ourselves of with this beautiful book of Psalms, there are 150 unique psalms in the Bible. Now, we don't say Psalm chapter 1 and Psalm chapter 2, but it's better to refer to them as the first psalm or Psalm 1 or the second psalm or Psalm 2. Some of the psalms, it's identified who the author is. Some psalms, they are not. We know David wrote right at half of the 150, if not maybe a few more, depending on the artistic and the writing styles. But each psalm stands alone. So, for instance, with Psalm 119, it does not follow what happened in Psalm 118, stylistically, content-wise. It does not. Nor does it lead you into what happens in Psalm 120. Now, if you read a book, chapter 2 follows what happens in chapter 1 and it leads you into chapter 3, but the book of Psalms are not written that way, so we need to remind ourselves of that. Now, as we look at Psalm 119, I hope you have your Bible open. I will be reading from the King James translation. As we look at Psalm 119, we see that it is an acrostic. What is an acrostic? An acrostic is where each letter, or each line, or each sentence, the first letter of that spells something out. So, for instance, for an acrostic, you might say a carefully reasoned, ordered sentence tells it clearly. A carefully, and that spells out acrostic. We know this. We use it to remember how the order of the planets. When we were growing up in school, we used it to teach us how to do orders of operation. Please excuse my dear Aunt Sally. For instance, like that, how you do parentheses, exponents, multiplication, all that fun stuff. I'm glad I don't have to do that much anymore now. But we use acrostics all the time to help us learn things. And as we see in Psalm 119, it is a beautifully laid out acrostic. Now, I'm afraid too many people just glance over Psalm 119 because it is the largest portion of Scripture, at least one chapter that we have in the Bible. It has 176 verses. But here's what I find interesting. I told you it was written in Hebrew. In the Hebrew alphabet, there are 12 letters in their alphabet, where we have 26 in the English alphabet today. Hebrews, they just have 12. Now, if you take 12 into 176, you can do that 8 times. So in every section, every 8 verses of Scripture go along with a certain letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And as we go through here, we're going to study it by that. And as I'm looking at my copy of the Scriptures, mine even has it broken up by letters of the Hebrew alphabet. Yours may as well. And you may have always wondered just exactly what that's for. Well, I hope we can better answer that in this study. Now, there was a gentleman. His name was William Wilberforce. He was a British politician. He lived from 1759 to 1833. Why do I bring this up? Because he would recite, he had memorized Psalm 119. And he would recite the entire psalm as he was walking back from Parliament to his house every night that Parliament was in session. So I guess that can tell you just about how far away he lived from Parliament. There are many great lessons that we can learn in Psalm 119. Some of the most quoted passages in all of Scripture, I think you will find, are in Psalm 119. Now the question becomes, who is the author of this passage? Now we know the Holy Spirit guided each author of the Bible to write the things that the Holy Spirit, that God wanted written. But Psalm 119 does not specify an author by name. But Robert R. Taylor Jr., in his book, Studies in Psalm 119, which we will reference here and there in this lesson, or in this series of lessons, he gives a couple of people who he knows did not write it. An atheist did not write it because of the love and devotion that the author shows for God. An agnostic did not write it. Someone who is devoted to the devil, he did not write it. Someone that hates God did not write it. One who disdains the word of God did not write this psalm. One person who viewed these things as written by a human, he did not write the psalm. One person who counted everything and anything can't be proved by the Bible did not write this. The person that wrote Psalm 119 was not a Calvinist, those that believe in a direct operation of the Holy Spirit upon the heart of men, and we can see that throughout this psalm. Also, the person who deems God's Bible, his word, as of little to no value, he did not write this psalm, and one who deemed God's book a myth, a legend, folklore, ink on paper, or a document filled with hopeless contradictions, he did not write the words in this psalm. We're going to take a break. I hope you will join me on the other side of this break as we continue looking at Psalm 119.
Reading the Word with Justin Reed is sponsored by the Wood Church of Christ. The building is located at 99 Sally Parton Road at the base of Short Mountain, 6 miles off 70 on Short Mountain Road on the left. Join us for Bible study Sunday at 10 a.m., worship at 11 a.m. and 5:30 p.m., with midweek Bible study Wednesday at 7 p.m.
Thank you, Brother Dearman. We are back on Reading the Word. My name is Justin Reed, and I'm so glad that you have decided to stick around and enjoy some more time with us. If you're taking notes, and I highly encourage it, if you're just joining us, we're examining Psalm 119. And we're going to be doing this for the next couple of weeks because there are so many great gems, treasures, and blessings found in this psalm. But as we go through the verses in this 176-verse psalm, I want us to note that there are 10 different words that appear, at least one of the 10 words appear in every verse except for one of them, verse 122. And we will get to that when we get to that section. But all 10 of these words, they refer directly to the Word of God. The first word is way. I'm reminded of John 14:6, where Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Way, talking about the Word of God. Our next word that we find frequently in this psalm is testimonies. The testimonies of God. By the way we find 13 times. I need to back up and say that. Testimonies we find 14 times recorded for us in Scripture. The next word I want us to look at is precepts. That's found 21 times in Psalm 119. Our next word is commandments. That's found 22 times in this psalm. Now, what's interesting is in verse 96, he talks about commandment singular, but it's still on the same line. Our next word that we find in this psalm, ironically enough, is the word, word. And this word in Hebrew, for word, is found 19 times. We'll find another one here in a second. Our sixth word is law. It's found 25 times, and it's always found in the singular form. There is no S. It is not laws. It is the law of the Lord. Our seventh word we frequently find in Psalm 119 is judgment. We find that word 23 times in this psalm. Word number 8 is righteousness, and we find that 14 times. Our ninth word is statute. That's found 22 times in this beautiful passage of Scripture. And lastly is the word, word. I know you're saying, Brother Justin, word was number 5. Yes, it is. There are two different words in the Hebrew language for word, and we find both of them here in this beautiful passage of Scripture. And the second form of word, we find it 24 times. So those 10 key words again: way, testimonies, precepts, commandments, word, law, judgment, righteousness, statute, and then once again a different form of the word, word. That concludes our introductory material over Psalm 119. I hope you do have a copy of the Scripture in front of you. If not, of course, you can find it online. Like I said, I will be reading the King James Version of the Scriptures let's examine the first 8 verses. I don't think time will permit for us to get through all of this, but we will just make it as far as time permits. How does that sound? Psalm 119, this is the Aleph section. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies, and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed, and I shall have, when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart, when I have learned thy righteous judgments. I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. This is the Aleph section. And Aleph is akin to our letter A in the English alphabet. What I find interesting, of course, not in the English, but when we read this in Hebrew, and I'm no Hebrew scholar by any form of the words, but verse 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8 all begin with the letter Aleph. That just shows you the time and the effort that the writer, through inspiration of the Holy Spirit, put into penning these words. Now, in verse 1, it starts off very similar to the way the book of Psalms starts out. Blessed is the man that walketh not, standeth not, or sitteth not. And that's, of course, talking about the progressive nature of sin. It also reminds me of what Jesus said in really his first public teaching in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, what we often call the Sermon on the Mount. He has the Beatitudes, or the blessed are statements. Blessed is the man, blessed, 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 blessed. Well, here he says, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk. Walk is one of your words, and law is one of the words that appears frequently. Now, when we talk about walk, he's not talking about physically putting your left foot in front of your right foot in a repetitive motion, hoping to reach your goal. Talking about the way that you live your life. When we think about walking, I'm reminded in the Old Testament, in the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 5, verses 21 through 24, of a story of a man named Enoch. Genesis 5:21, the Bible says, Enoch lived 65 years, begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years, and he begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Enoch walked with God, showing a unity in their relationship. When it says he was not, God took him. Enoch did not die on this earth. God took him to the next life. Also, Noah, in Genesis chapter 6, in verse 9, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. You see how they both are correlated there between with walking with God, the only ones in the first part of the book of Genesis that are described that way. So they walked with God. That shows a unity in their relationship. Also think about the patriarch Abraham in Genesis chapter 17 and verse 1. The Bible says, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Lord God, walk before me and be thou perfect. So Abraham, back then Abram, he was commanded to walk before God. That meant he was always under the protection of God. Enoch and Noah, they walked with. Abraham commanded to walk before. We talk about a man whose name is Moses. In Deuteronomy 13 and verse 4, says, ye shall walk after the Lord your God, and fear him, and keep his commandments, and obey his voice, and ye shall serve him, and cleave unto him. Moses commanded Israel to walk after the Lord, meaning that he is our supreme model. And today, in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6, says, as ye therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. So today we're commanded to walk. You see those prepositions? Noah and Enoch walked before, or walked with. Abraham walked before. Moses commanded them to walk after. And we walk in the Lord. And we know through baptism today, coupling that with Romans chapter 6, 3, and 4, and Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27, that's how we get in to Christ. Now we're going to go ahead and draw a line in the sand there. I am Justin Reed, the minister for the Wood Church of Christ. We'd love to come see you. I hope you can join me again next Friday at this time as we will continue our examination of Psalm 119. Until then, have a blessed day.
This has been Reading the Word with Justin Reed.